Greetings in the name of the Lord. It is always good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. It is. There's nothing like being with God's people, worshiping our Lord together in the unity of the Spirit. I just want to remind you again about these baby bottles, and maybe if you're visiting with us, the Hagerstown Area Pregnancy Clinic has a baby bottle campaign that they do every year. And what you do is you take one of these home, you fill it up with some change, or you can put cash or a check, whatever you want in it. But this saves the lives of babies. Last year, we were able to save almost 79 of them, amen, that would have been aborted, but they have life, and they're in the world. They never cease to amaze me. You know, we all want to do something to make an impact in life, but this is something that is so direct, so life-changing. When you're putting that change or that money in that bottle, realize you have saved a child from abortion when you do it. And they've saved over 1,800 in their time of existence. It's one of the most positive ways to stem the tide of abortion that I know of. So if you haven't gotten one, or even if you did and you got it filled, get another one. Bring it back in. And let us do everything we can to save every child that we can. Praise the Lord. It'll cool off shortly. I just did some things to make it a little cooler in here. Would you stand with us, please, for the reading of God's Word this morning? If you have your Bible and want to turn there with me, it's in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 19. I'm looking at the New American Standard this morning. A lot of different Bibles out there. They're all good for various purposes. I'll just use this one this morning. If you don't have your Bible, it's okay. It's up on the screen. It says, "Then we set out from Horeb and went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which you saw on the way to the hill country of the Amorites, just as the Lord our God had commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea." I want to talk to you this morning for a little bit. I've got a word from the Lord for you. That's better than a sermon always. Amen. I want to talk to you about that great and terrible wilderness. Would you bow your heads, please, and let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just come before you this morning to thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day, to thank you for the health and the strength that we have and possess here this morning. And Father, I pray that even as Jesus walked the shores of Galilee and preached your word, those that were sick among them, even as he spoke the word, your Spirit went forth to heal and to touch hearts and lives. Lord, you are the God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I ask that you would touch every person in this place this morning. Touch them physically. Touch them mentally. Touch them emotionally, Lord God. And most of all, Father, touch us spiritually. Let us be quickened and brought to life. Help us to know and to see and to turn our eyes upon you, that God, sometimes in the storms of life, we look away. But this morning, help us to put our eyes on you again, that we might not sink in the waves, Father. Help us to know that your promise is sure. You said you would never leave us nor forsake us, that you would be with us always, even to the ends of the earth. And Father, while I'm thinking of that, be with our missions team in the Dominican Republic this morning. God, as they sing and worship and lift up your praises and share the word of God, and they go this afternoon to hand out those Samaritan's purse children's shoeboxes, God. Father, again, we ask your blessing, your favor, your anointing. We ask for divine appointments and pray that you would extend your hand, Lord God. Open the eyes of the blind. Lord, heal the deaf. Loose the tongue of the dumb. Raise those from the dead that need the gospel of Jesus Christ, we pray. And Father, do it here as well. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated this morning. Well, it took us all of fall and all the way through the holidays, but here we are back in Deuteronomy this morning. Amen. A lot of things went on through the fall and holiday. I want to talk to you this morning about Moses is recounting now to Israel. They are getting ready to go into the promised land. But he wants them to remember. He wants them to stop and look back and realize what they have been through and where they have come from and where God has brought them to at this point. And he tells them that they need to remember, they need to look back. He said, remember all that great and terrible wilderness that God took you through. It speaks to our lives today because there are some things that just can never be forgotten in our lives. The trouble is past, but the shadow is still there. The victory is won, but the memory of the battle still looms large in our hearts. In our minds. We go through things in life, don't we? You know, from time to time as a pastor, people will ask me when things are happening in their lives and sometimes tragic things, they'll say, Pastor Ken, why? Why? And if you're not a child of God, I don't know the answer to that. But if you are a child of God, I know the answer. The answer is found in Romans 8:28 when God said, all things work together for good, for those who know and love God and are called according to His purpose. Sometimes we are in the desert and we have been through things that we feel like we don't know if we're even going to make it past. And now we're at a place where, you know, the desert is far from us now, but how can we forget that great and terrible wilderness that we've been through? And yet you're going to find, church, that as you live life, life would be very poor without those times of wilderness and things that we go through. The memory of the wilderness chastens our joy. Sometimes we get a little full of ourselves, don't we? Sometimes it's those hard things that really bring us back to reality. It also touches our prayers. We never pray stronger prayers or more heartfelt prayers than when we are going through the wilderness times in our lives. Those wilderness times give us more courage too, because we're hopeful because of what they tell us about the future. What we really say is, if God could get me through that, He can get me through anything. That's right. If God can get us through that, He can get us through anything. As I prepared this message this week, I thought about Jack and Sherry. And Sherry is going to be sharing her testimony in the women's ministry tonight. And unless you have some really, really, really important place to be, ladies, I recommend that you come and you hear the testimony that she has. In fact, I'm going to let her and Jack both somewhere down the line here very shortly, somewhere before spring, I'm going to let them share their testimony here. They were in a very tragic motorcycle accident. They almost lost their lives. They both lost an arm. And they were Christians. I believe it happened on Sunday afternoon, didn't it? They were both Christians at the time, and they almost lost their lives. They did lose their arms. It's changed the course and the journey of their lives forever. But they would tell you too today this, that they are better for that wilderness of life that they went through. Yeah, I know. They've been dear friends of mine for all, I guess they're almost 30 years now, if not that and more. And I know the place where the accident happened, and I'm a motorcycle rider, and I can't ride through there in the summer without thinking about poor Sherry laying down the road somewhere from Jack, screaming in pain, crying out for her life. I can't imagine Jack as a husband laying there, cannot move, and your wife is laying in the middle of the highway. I'm not going to say much more about it because I want them to share it eventually, but I want to tell you something. God is faithful, even in the midst of a terrible crisis and wilderness like that. In fact, we're all better for the wildernesses that of our lives that we go through, and I got some bad news for you. You cannot escape. You are not going to go through this life unscathed and untouched by the bad and terrible things that can happen in this life. God has promised to keep us. He has promised to touch us, to give us strength, to give us grace, to be with us no matter what we go through. But I want to tell you something. We are not home yet. We live in a fallen creation. It has been fallen by the curse of sin. Terrible things happen, even to good people. Hello. Good things happen to bad people because God reigns on the just and the unjust. But I can tell you, if you haven't been through a wilderness in this life yet, you're going to sooner or later. And what God is always trying to do is to build us up in faith, in grace, in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that when those times and those moments come into our lives, He will be able to use even those things to create the image and likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ, down in our hearts and in our souls. It's foolishness to think that you can find some road to heaven where there's not going to be any wilderness. Oh, that great and terrible wilderness, Moses said. They had spent 40 years in that wilderness. You know, just to say those words kind of makes a shiver go down your spine, that great and terrible wilderness. But you know what? Rightly traveled, it's barren sand, makes us men, it makes us women. Taken in the right spirit, we'll even see in that wilderness what a little bit of the garden of God. We'll go through it. While we're in it, His grace is there. His grace is sufficient. I've told people, I've been through some wildernesses in my life, and if it wasn't for the terrible things that we have to suffer and the hard things that we go through, I would love to have the grace of God be that strong every day of my life. But when you don't need it, it's not there. When you do need it, and how desperately, no matter how desperately you need His presence and His grace, if you're a child of God, I don't care what you're going through, His grace will be there. His presence will be there. He will get you through. There's nothing that you cannot do. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. I don't know why God's given me this message today, but I can tell you this. You've either been through one, and God wants you to remember it. You're either in the middle of one right now, and God wants you to know you are not by yourself, or there's one coming. Because that's just life. That's just the way it is. Every person doesn't pass through exactly the same wilderness. But in every life, I assure you, there will be great dreary places that we would have rather just skipped over. We would rather that that didn't happen, that that didn't take place in our lives. Great and terrible places of wilderness. I'm looking at Frank and Donna here this morning. About this time last year, they were in Florida. Frank's dad was critically ill. He was dying. The whole family had been moved to Florida. I don't get up much in the middle of the night, thank God, but I got up in the middle of that night for some reason, and as soon as I got up and started walking out my family room, my text ping went off on my iPhone. I looked down at it, and Donna had texted me. She said, "Pastor Ken, we're in Florida, and my house is burning to the ground," and her house was up here, beautiful home. It's beautiful again, thank God. And I thought, what? What is she talking about? What does she really mean? And then a picture came, and it was a picture of her house that her son had taken as he ran out. And two-story beautiful home looked like a fireball. It was just going up in flames. Frank has been very sick for quite a while now. I'm sure as that happened and that took place, they felt like Job. I know they've asked me a couple times since. They said, "How much more does God want out of us?" Because they pretty much lost it all. He's in the process of restoring now. Thank God. Frank was able to be there and help his dad make it into glory and go to heaven while his house was burning down up here. But God is faithful. God is taking care of them. For some of us, it's a desert of finance. You've either been through it, you're going through it, or you will go through it. And I'm not talking about, just there's more month than there is money, at the end of the month. I'm not talking about you just had a bad week here and there, or something happened to the car. I'm talking about times that people go through when it looks like you are going to lose everything. Everything's a loss. Even your friends forget about you. And maybe you're at a place you can't even tell your spouse how bad it is. Not because you're being deceitful, but you just don't want them to have to carry the burden that you're carrying and that you're going through. It happens in life. It even happens to Christians, good people. Things change. You remember your old friends. You had poverty that walked on your right hand and friendlessness that walked on your left. And, you know, sometimes it seems like everybody that's supposed to be there don't know they're supposed to be there, and there's just nobody there. And you feel like the world is caving in. But, you know, a lot of us have been there and we're still standing, aren't we? That's right. The devil said, this is it. This is the end of the road. You're going down. You're going to lose everything you got. You don't have a job. You're not going to be able to pay your bills. You're not going to be able to hold on to your car. But where are you now? You made it through it. My mom was sick, couldn't be here today, but I always loved her heart. She was a single mom with 7 kids. And I remember times growing up when we literally had no food. It wasn't, I don't like this or I don't like that. I'm talking nothing. And I would look at my mom as a kid, and I'd say, Mom, what are we going to do? She said, I don't know, but as long as we're alive, we are going to make it somehow. And she wasn't even a Christian then, but she just had this indelible faith that somehow, some way, as long as we had breath and we were still living and we were still here, somehow we were going to make it through. And we did. We did. We're still here. And if you're a Christian and you go through times like that, and you come out on the other side of them, God is teaching you that He is your source. God is teaching you, don't trust in uncertain riches. God is teaching you that your paycheck is not who's taking care of you. God is teaching you that He is your resource. He owns the earth and the fullness thereof. It all belongs to Him. And if you trust and put your faith in Him, He will never put you to shame or fail you. He might even teach you how to be a better steward of what you do have. But sometimes He lets us go through the wilderness. I have a book in my office over here on the desk. It's entitled, God Has Never Let Me Down, But He Has Scared Me to Death a Few Times. One thing I know for certain about God is He's never late and He always comes through, but He's almost always just right on time. When you think the ship is going down, He'll throw out the lifeline. Glory to God. And a lot of times He's just trying our hearts. And I want to say to you, if you're not going through some kind of financial wilderness today, just don't praise God that you're not, and don't forget those that are, because there are always people struggling financially. Always. Jesus said, the poor you will have with you always. And sometimes we all hit those places, but God will get us through. Maybe your desert wasn't financial. Maybe it's physical. Maybe it is long and painful affliction that you're going through. How many of you been there? Quite a few of us. Probably more than any other wilderness that I go through in life, sickness will try my faith. It'll try your faith because you spend most of your Christian life understanding, reading the Bible, knowing that you know that you know that God is a miracle-working God, that God can heal, that God can do miracles, that God can change in a moment the pain and affliction that you're going through, but He doesn't always do it. And when you're going through it, you think, God, where are you? Why now? Why am I experiencing this? What lesson am I supposed to be learning going through this? And if you're really in pain, I've been there. You're like, God, you know, you could fix this right now. Why aren't you? Oh, sickness is a great and terrible wilderness. I'd rather have health than silver or gold. I can tell you that right now. I'd rather be sound in body and mind and spirit than have all the money that Howard Hughes had or anybody else out here that's a multi-billionaire. Because if you don't have your health, it doesn't matter how good everything else is. You can have the best marriage in the world. You can have the best job in the world, the best income in the world. You can have all the possessions you've ever dreamed of. But when you're sick, man, none of it amounts to anything, I can tell you. It really doesn't. This is 2018. It's been almost 4 years now. In 2014, they started speaking that ugly C word over my life. He said, you got cancer. He said, you got cancer. Nobody wants to hear that. I felt like telling that doctor first. I thought, pick them words up and put them back in your mouth and don't spit them all over me like that. That stuff's slobber. It stinks. He said, well, I'm sorry, Ken, but I'm pretty sure. Had some other things going on, but I remember laying in the hospital bed after a very severe surgery and laying there, and I remember I had a big cut on my side and staples, and they had to put a tube in, and they had this little thing that blood was draining out of, and you know, you could hardly lay down, you could hardly sit up, you could feel that thing wound up inside of you. And I remember saying to my wife, I said, you know, if this is cancer, they still didn't know at that point. I said, for sure. And I said, if this is cancer, I said, if this is the kind of pain that I'm going to have to endure and I'm going to live for another 2 or 3 years like that, I said, I don't know. I don't know if I can live like this. I mean, I was hurting bad. Never lost my faith in God, but I did have those thoughts that, God, you know, you could take this pain away right now. Most of the nurses I had were pretty good. They came regular. I had one. I said to her one time, I said, it's about 20 minutes after I'm supposed to have a pain pill. And I said, I feel like I'm dying. She said, I just came on and you'll get it when I get to it. And I don't have time to come in here every 2 hours and give you a shot. My wife had just walked out the door and she was the night nurse. I thought, man, this is going to be a long night. All the rest of them wasn't that way, but I'm telling you, she was having a bad day, and that's what she said to me. Her and I became great friends before the week was out. Dear friends. But I'm just telling you, it'll try your faith. It really will. I know I'm looking at some of you here today. You're fighting the fight. You've heard that C word. And you've been in the battle. And you've been going through it. You're still going through it. Once they speak that thing over you, it kind of never totally leaves you, does it, Teresa? It's always that little booger shadow hanging out there somewhere, just wondering, is it going to come back, even if you think you're all right, once you've been through it. Sickness will try us desperately. Sickness of a loved one who, you know, they don't get better. They find out they're terminally ill, or they find out they're going to die, or they do die. And you wonder, God, where are you in the middle of all this? I want to tell you, for those that cry out to him, I'll tell you where he's at. He's right there with you. And you know what? That pain that I had in that hospital room that first night, I had that pain for almost a year and a half every day. But I can tell you this, God's grace is sufficient. Wasn't easy. It's not fun. To have to live with that and to realize it is ever present, and at least for a time, there's nothing that you can do about it. It's not getting any better. But I can tell you, God's grace is sufficient. Been there and back. I'm healthy today, by the way. Amen. Thank God this time I made it all the way through. The Lord touched me in such a way that even the doctors couldn't believe it. After one of them said, don't know why, don't understand it, but you are healed. And he sent me back to the first doctor that had sent me for the surgery, and he said, Ken, I know they're telling you you're all right, buddy, but I want to go in there and look some more. I said, we're not doing that. I said, we're not doing that. I said, you sent me to a specialist to make sure I was okay. They're telling you I'm okay. We're not going back in there right now. And I had to talk to that doctor for about 20 minutes. He said, okay. He said, as long as you'll sign off and I'm not responsible, if something happens, he says, we'll wait a year. I said, I'll sign it. Give it to me. I'd done been poked, cut, and pinched and snipped enough. And I went back a year later, and he said, yep, you're good. You're good. You're good. We'll keep an eye on you, but you're good. But you know what? A lot of people aren't good. A lot of people don't get healed. A lot of good people don't get healed. A lot of godly people don't get healed. But one thing I found out going through that, I found out that God is with you. That you can do exceedingly abundantly above what you think you can do and endure. You know what I did when I was in that hospital? I didn't choose to. God chose to. And nurses started finding out I was a pastor. And they'd come in. As soon as they had a couple minutes, they would come in and they would sit down on a stool at the end of the bed, Brother Steve, and they would just be pouring out their hearts, pouring out their lives. I remember saying to God at one point, one night in the middle of the night, and I said, God, I don't know. I ain't really up to this. But I mean, they were just coming right and left. That nurse that gave me such a hard time, I told her one afternoon, I said, ma'am, I said, can we start over? I said, I think we got off on the wrong foot or something. I said, and I promise you, I'll be a good patient. I had three IVs in my arm at the time, and I had one great big one. I just said that to her. She said, okay, we'll see what we can do. She turned around, walked out of the room. I was sitting in a chair, and I turned around, and that thing popped out. All over the end of the bed, it looked like a horror movie. All that fluid and blood, and it looked like somebody had massacred somebody. And she turned around, took three steps, come back, stuck her head in, and busted out laughing. I said, ma'am, I really am not a bad patient. But that broke the ice with her, and she was literally one of the best nurses that I had the rest of the week. She came in the middle of the night, told me about her marriage, things she was struggling through, and all kinds of stuff. And God helped me to minister to her and made a great friend out of her. And that's one thing I want to say to you. No matter what you're going through, it's not only for you. It's for everybody around you. Everybody around you. I helped bury a precious brother during the Christmas season this year. A brother in the Lord. Been a brother of mine for probably 35 years, almost 40 years. And some of his family asked me, said, why did he go through such terrible cancer and such terrible suffering? I said, because God knew he could trust him while he went through it. Because he was a witness. He was a witness to the people that gave him chemo. He was a witness to his nurses. He was a witness to his family. He's being a witness this morning to you as a church. And he never, never, ever, terrible suffering in his life. I would go and sit with him, and he was so disfigured, it was even hard to look at him. But he never lost his faith in God. And you know what he told me right toward the end of his life? What I said earlier. He said, Ken, except for all the suffering, he said, God has been so close to me, so present with me. He said, I would love to experience that all the time. He said, I can't wait to get home. I can't wait to get home. And trust me, he suffered far greater than anything I went through. You know, Psalm 119, the psalmist said this. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Sometimes that's what it does, isn't it? Sometimes affliction just slows us down enough to really look at what's important in life. You know something else sickness does? It helps us to have mercy and patience with other people. I can tell you this, if I'm getting to the end of my road and I'm so sick I feel like I'm about to die, it's not the 20-year-old Christian that is 20 years old and hadn't had a sick day in their life and they got a good job and everything's going all right. They're not the one I want talking to me when I'm on my deathbed. Telling me how if I just straightened everything up, I wouldn't be in the mess I was in. No, that's when I want the old saint. I want the saint that's been through it all. I want the saint that's been hurt, been crushed, been just touched and seemed like lost the world, but they've come through it on the other side and they say, brother, I know how you feel, and they mean it. I hate to talk about them because I know how humble they are and they hate me talking about them, but I'm telling you, Jack and Sherry Adams are two, I am honored to know them as people. They are spiritual. They don't feel like they are. I know. They're my friends. I know who they are as people. They don't feel like it, but I'm telling you something. They have made it through the worst thing that the enemy could throw at them. And they've come out on the other side. And they've come out on the other side as warriors for Christ. I've seen people sell out and give out for far less. Let me tell you. Give up their faith. Give up their walk with God because of something that they're going through. And they never have. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Sometimes God lets you be touched by it so that you can help carry the burden of other people that are being touched by it. Some of the meanest people I know in the world, unfortunately, are some of the healthiest and most blessed, because they're so stinking full of themselves. You don't know what it is to hurt and to be crushed until you've been hurt and you've been crushed, and then you're a lot more sympathetic and a lot more compassionate to other people going through things. Well, maybe your wilderness isn't sickness. Maybe it's a temptation. And I want you to know this. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's not sin until you give in to it and you do it. And I want you to know, in some way we're all tempted. But sometimes we feel like we have fought with beasts at Ephesus, and you fought with yourself 7 days a week, and you feel like it's been the hour and the power of darkness. No matter what I do, I just can't seem to get through this thing. And you're wrestling with the enemy, but he seems to be coming in from every direction. I believe there's spiritual warfare that takes place like that in our lives. You ever have those days where you just get up, nothing's wrong, you haven't lost anything, everything's working, nothing's broke, but I'm telling you, you just feel like inside the world is coming down on you. And you try to shake those snakes off, and they just won't shake off. I've even been in those places, and I get on my own self. I start getting down on myself. I say, you know, nothing's wrong. You should be all right. You should be praising God. Why do you feel like this? Why are you down in a dungeon like this? Sometimes it's just spiritual warfare. Sometimes it's just the enemy coming in, and he's trying you at every turn, and every time you think you can stop and rest for a minute and get your breath, it just seems like they're coming in from some other direction. Amen? Am I speaking to you or not? Are you with me this morning? Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, right? I'm telling you. One of the things we have to do at those times is recognize that if God's allowed it, there's some purpose for it in our lives. God doesn't tempt us with sin. He doesn't tempt any man that way, the Bible tells us. But sometimes he allows us to go through things to teach us, to help us to build up our spiritual metal and our spiritual strength. Now, I don't want to give you the wrong idea. You don't have to give in to sin. I'm going to tell you why. This is what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man." That means it's common to all men. "But God is faithful." Say, God is faithful. It says, "who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able." Now, it doesn't mean he won't allow things to come. I hear radio preachers say it. I hear television preachers say, "oh, God will never give you more than you can handle." That is not what this says. What it says is he will give you the strength to handle anything that comes your way. He didn't say he'd only allow you to handle what you can handle. And you need to understand that, because you're going to find yourself in some places in life that when these things hit you, you're going to say, "God, I can't handle this. You told me you wouldn't give me more than I could handle." He didn't tell you that. Don't let some lying preacher tell you that. That is never what God's word says. God said, "I will with the temptation make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it." There's always a way out. There's always a way out. Years ago, we used to have Sunday morning Sunday school. Then we had Sunday morning church. Then we would come back at 7 o'clock in the evening, and we would have church again. You know what my worst day of the week used to be, even back then, even when I was young enough to do all that? You know what my worst day was? Mondays. I'd be preaching in the pulpit on Sunday night like I'm preaching today, feeling like I could, you know, like David taking on Goliath. That's how I feel when I get to preaching. But man, come Monday morning, every demon in the county would run into my head, run into my mind, run in, put this down, put that down, you know, just feel like he had his heel on you and just grinding you in the dirt. And that went on and it went on and it went on and it went on. And I said, God, you are trying to teach me something. What are you trying to teach me here? You're allowing this to take place. What are you trying to teach me? I'm going to give you something very profound here. You know what he told me? He said, you're tired on Monday. He said, you're exhausted. He said, and you try to deal with everything that's going on in your life, and you try to, you know, deal with every issue that somebody's having in church. He said, you need to take a day off. I thought, really, Lord? Really? He's like, shut the phone down, shut the email down, shut it all down and just relax, you're exhausted. I appreciate you being exhausted, but you're exhausted. It took me a long time to learn that and figure that out. But you know what? It carried not only over into my ministry, it carried over into my marriage. We got a law in our house, Carl and I. Any big decision that we make, it don't happen after 9 o'clock at night. And sometimes she tries to break the rule, and sometimes I try to break the rule. We'll be out in the car, and we'll be getting into something. And the reason that is, you know, we're tired by then. Even the good things I want to do, I'm too tired to do then. And one of us will look at the other, and we'll start into something, and without fail, one of us will look down at the old clock in the car. I'll say, it's 9:15. We ain't going there. It can wait. We ain't going there. And sometimes she'll look at me, she'll say, yeah, it's 9:45, King. We're not talking about that. You know why? Because just sometimes you got to figure life out. And God wants to help us figure life out. And reality is there's a way of escape. You know what we used to do when that wasn't a rule? We try to make big decisions. We try to talk things out when we're too tired, too edgy, too irritable to talk about anything. And you know what we do? We're not yellers and screamers. We're the passive aggressive. We'll go to bed and you look at one wall and I'll look at the other wall. And if I feel better tomorrow and I'm not tired of being mad, I might talk to you by Wednesday. We haven't done that. This year we'd be married 40 years. We haven't done that probably for 38 now. But I'm telling you, we spent a lot of time in those first 2 years doing it. We just had to figure out when you're tired, you can't do that stuff. Amen. That's marriage counseling. I just threw that in there. It didn't cost you any extra. I'm going to ask the worship team to come to the platform if you would. While they're coming, I want you to think about something. Why these places of great and terrible wilderness in our lives? Because they come to all of us. I'm going to give you the answer. Can you look back at any of them now that you've been through? Can you look back at any of them and not realize how good the divine hand of God was in the midst of it? That's right. God is still God even in the wilderness. That's what I've found out. I found out there's a lot of fair weather Christians. As long as everything's going all right. I don't want to be a fair weather Christian because life doesn't have that much fair weather, to be honest with you. And I'm a pastor now. So even when I'm having fair weather, somebody in my flock is not. People asked me, they said, how was Christmas this year? How was your holiday? I said, it was wonderful, but I had 2 funerals a week for 3 weeks, all through the holidays. It did put a little crimp in it, I can tell you. Worse for the ones that, families that had the funerals, but, you know, you can't bury your friends and bury your pastors and everybody else and it not affect you either, even as a pastor. Amen? But God is faithful. Me and Jesus, me and Carl and Jesus had a lot of good talks during the Christmas holidays. I had a wonderful Christmas. And that's what God wants to teach us. He is there. God looks down at us even in the midst of the darkness. Did you know that when Jesus went to the cross, and even before the cross, the beatings and the whippings and the suffering, he took on and felt every hurt, every pain, every surgery, every disease, every heartache you and I and every other human being that has ever lived, he felt that on the cross. You say, where is God when I'm going through it? He's already felt it. He's already felt it. And he's there with you if you have eyes to see and a heart to open up to him. And I remember going through my experience with the cancer. I sat in my home one night feeling so bad. I can't even really even explain this to you, but this is what I asked God. I said, God, I feel like my spirit's leaving my body. I said, am I dying? Because I didn't want to die sitting in my chair with my wife asleep in the other room. I said, God, am I dying? He never answered me, and I'm still here. I just took no news as good news. And it must have been. But I only say that to say this. He was there. I didn't hear him speak, but I could feel his presence. And I somehow knew, even when I didn't hear him, I thought, even if I do, she'll be okay. I'll be okay. God, you got this. You got this. You got this. Oh, that great and terrible wilderness. See, I still can't forget that. I can't, when I ride by where their accident happened, Jack and Sherry, I still can't forget it. That shadow is still there. It breaks my heart. I break into tears every time I ride down that hill because I just cannot imagine, as much as I love these two, laying there on the brink of death like that. But I don't want to forget all the times that I've heard them say in my own life, but he never left me and he never forsook me. Even when I was laying bleeding out on the highway, Jesus Christ had my hand. And he'll have yours. He wants you to put your hand in his hand and never let go. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And with your heads bowed, church, I want you to understand something. We're not home yet, and that's why things happen in life. We're still in a great and terrible wilderness. We don't know what's in front of any of us between here and there. But we need to have our hand in God because he has promised to get us all the way through this journey. He's promised that when the ground is desert and it's iron and it's brass, he said, I'm going to take you home and your shoes are not going to wear out and your clothes are not going to wear out. And I'm going to present you faultless before the throne of my Father one day if you'll just hold on to me no matter what this life throws at you. And church, I'm sharing it with you today because I want you to take hold of Jesus and never let go. Never let go. Father, I just come before your throne right now. And I thank you for every victory in every life that is seated before me this morning. There are many in this room that have already been through great and terrible wilderness. Some more than one, Father. And God, we know that you are God of the wilderness as well. And Father, none of us in this room today know what's in front of us or what life's going to hold in the days and the moments to come. But you have promised that your grace is sufficient. Father, if there are people under the sound of my voice that don't know you as Savior and Lord, they are going to find themselves one day in a wilderness by themselves, without strength, without hope, and without God in the world. And your son Jesus died so that that moment would never take place. Father, speak to every one of our hearts here today. Help us, Lord, to put our hand in your hand and to never let go is my prayer. Father, I ask that your spirit would move upon our hearts and lives as we worship in your presence right now. Touch us, heal us, raise us up and strengthen us. Lord, give us an eye and a heart for you, I pray. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Would you stand and just let us worship? God's word says where two or three are gathered in my name, where two or three get together to pray, Jesus said, I am in their midst. And we never like to end our church services without an altar service. To give you an opportunity just to come and stand or kneel in the presence of God, whatever you're comfortable with, and just seek the Lord. And maybe you need someone to pray with you this morning. There's prayer warriors that are trained. They're here, and they'll pray with you. And they know how to pray. They know how to touch God. They know how to bring heaven down to earth. But we want you to take a few moments this morning. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let this word that he's given me today, let him just minister it to your heart. Let him use it like healing balm in your life this morning.